South Africa's debt metrics are becoming increasingly a worry, and this has been flagged by the ratings agencies, and even business representatives have piped up to say that the situation warrants urgent attention. Moody's indicated yesterday that in fact the state needs to be giving Eskom even more support than it has already, and this comes a short while after Finance Minister Tito Mboweni indicated that Eskom would be getting an additional 59 billion rand over this year and next year, with the main aim there being to assist the utility to basically service its humongous annual debt costs. At its financial results briefing last week, Eskom indicated that its debt now stands around 440 billion rand. Ratings agencies consider the utility to be the single biggest risk to the local economy. Meanwhile, with the economy barely growing, tax revenues are consistently coming in below estimated levels, which means the state having to borrow more money on the debt markets to finance Eskom, other SOE bailouts and other priorities, which is just not sustainable. So, with all this, are we edging closer to a stage where we may need assistance from the International Monetary Fund? And if that were to occur, what would an IMF bailout possibly look like? Well, Magda Wizicka, who's the CEO of Signia, has taken an interest in this issue, and she joins me on the line. Thanks very much, Magda, for joining us. Some people listening to us, you're welcome, my dear. Some people listening to us may worry that commentators and observers of South Africa's debt situation and economy at large may be venturing into the realms of scaremongering with this talk of us having to possibly go cap in hand to the IMF. What are some of the justifications that can be cited for even entertaining this conversation?
Look, I think at this point in time, we still have a little bit of time before IMF becomes, you know, a real possibility. But it's not an unlimited period of time. So, you know, if you look at the economy, it isn't growing. The tax base is shrinking. You have the state-owned enterprises, and in particular Eskom, because I think everything else, you know, if it was privatized, you know, we can get it off the balance sheet of South Africa Inc. But Eskom needs to be stabilized.
Mm.
Now, you know, in order to stabilize anything, you can borrow more, but we can hardly afford to borrow more, and we certainly cannot afford a Moody's downgrade.
Magda, so then, before you carry on, we're hearing that Eskom wants the government to basically take responsibility for the majority of its debt. This is, you know, when the government is already spending about 15% of its budget on just servicing the country's debt costs. Surely, if that were to be agreed to, that would be an immediate trigger for downgrade.
Correct. Correct. So I think that it would be a very, very dangerous. I mean, and I'm not saying that they're not going to do it, but I think that would be a very dangerous decision to take. You know, I would rather look at other pools of liquidity available in the country at the moment. And really, I'm only looking at two. And both of them are contentious, but I think less contentious than a downgrade, less contentious than the lights going out.
And what are your suggestions?
You know, one of them is obviously looking at the PIC and the money managed by the PIC on behalf of the Government Employees Pension Fund. That's about 2 trillion rand that we have available on the balance sheet of South Africa. Mm. And given that GEPF is a defined benefit pension fund, it really is an asset of South Africa. So, you know, if we have to deploy it, and there's no point in you know, looking at the history and how we got here, we're here. That is an asset that I would deploy rather than, you know, the South Africa borrowing more money in order to bail out Eskom. The other option, mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a supplementary option, is to go back to this concept of prescribed assets, which basically means that, you know, every South African contributes. Again, let's not point fingers. It's too late for that. But basically, any savings pot that enjoys any kind of tax benefits would be forced to, perhaps for a period of time, say 5 years, to invest, let's assume, 20% of the assets in government-issued bonds, which would immediately lower the cost of funding in South Africa. South African savers would require some compensation for that. And, you know, you could look at creative solutions, such as, for instance, relaxing foreign exchange controls, allowing the same savings pot to invest 50% of the assets offshore in exchange for 20% being invested in government bonds.
Mm.
So those are the two pools. There isn't anything else. If we actually take the debt of Eskom onto the balance sheet, and if we are downgraded, then I think we are literally taking 10 steps forward towards the IMF bailout, which is a very ugly picture.
So paint a picture for us. What does that look like? We did look or watch Greece from a distance. You know, we would report around what was happening with Greece, you know, them having to basically adhere to the rules of the EU and the IMF. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was very contentious. The Greek people were fed up. People went into poverty and so on. Just give us a picture of how you see a bailout transposed here in South Africa.
So look, a bailout is a horrendous thing. So IMF is the bank of last resort. When you borrow money from the IMF, they effectively take over running the finances of the country. And we're not talking about a very complicated picture here. You know, the finances of the country are nothing more than a revenue line and an expenditure line. Mm. So the revenue line, effectively taxes go up. If you look at Greece, personal taxes were increased to 70%, VAT to 23%. And then the revenue line. Immediately, wages are cut, particularly in the public sector. Pensions are cut. Social benefits are cut. State assets are privatized, and there's a forced sale of anything standing, literally. You have issues such as, you know, power of trade unions is diminished because you have abolishment of collective bargaining agreements simply because you need to start retrenching people. So they effectively, you know, if in exchange for loans, they start to run the finances of the country. Mm. And, you know, given that South Africa is a power keg, as we know, we have so many political issues, race-related issues, inequality issues, that we would see, I mean, I think we would see heck of a lot than what happened in Greece. You know, in Greece, you had ransom banks, you had protests in the streets, you had government changes. In South Africa, I think you would have a multiplier effect placed on that. So it's very ugly.
So the social picture could be quite dire for South Africa.
Indeed. Hmm. Very dire for South Africa. And I think that we can't lose sight of that. I think if that is the boogeyman that's standing at our door, then we should do everything in our power to focus not on, you know, ANC political infighting, because even I am, you know, getting despondent about watching this, and prioritize what is really important, which is running the economy of the country. Hmm. Because if IMF does it for you, by the way, it doesn't mean that it gets you out of a recession. In fact, after IMF stepped in, Greece suffered kind of the longest recession of any advanced economy since the Great Depression. So it's not as if, you know, IMF bailouts are some great panacea to anything.
Yes.
It actually tends to cause more havoc, more poverty, more inequality down the line. They're just kind of a short-term program to kind of appease your bondholders. But, you know, having that picture in mind, I think it kind of focuses the mind on what we should be doing.
So obviously, these are very serious issues we're discussing, and you would want to have the conversations or the ideas that you've just raised. You'd want to have an adult conversation with people around this. But I've spoken to people from your community, the financial community, around prescribed assets, and it seems as though people are absolutely against it. They feel it's nanny state. They feel that they're not going to be able to invest in areas where they think they'll be able to derive more value.
You know, I think that people talk to their book. Very, very few people can take the bigger picture view of where we are as a country, as opposed to thinking about your own back pocket. Mm. And I think that, you know, if you focus on the short-termism, that's where IMF is kind of literally standing at our door. My view is that, you know, and you know, I've tended to take a much more macro view of things, of basically saying, you know, we are in complete disarray as a country. Mm. We have no growth. We have poverty. We have rising unemployment. I mean, we've got almost 30% unemployment level. You know, something has to give.
Yeah.
And we need to have a national think tank of, you know, the top, be it economists, business leaders, guiding the economic policy of the country. And it's not up to individual portfolio managers who levy fees on some portfolios that they manage. Frankly, I don't think that they are a voice in this conversation. You know, this is a conversation that should be happening at the national level.
Mm. Magda, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for your insights on this conversation. That was Magda Wizicka. She's the CEO of Signia.